People Leading People is a podcast about the stuff that pops up when you lead people at work. Join Brennan McEachran, CEO of Soapbox, and me, Jillian Bora, customer experience at Soapbox, as we interview the people leaders that inspire us most.
When your team feels psychologically safe, they're more likely to share open and honest feedback with you and others at the company. But as a manager, psychological safety can be hard to foster. Michael Lopp will share what he's learned from his time at Apple, Pinterest, and Slack about sharing hard feedback with your team while maintaining an environment where people feel safe enough to say no. Welcome, Michael.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
thank
my pleasure.
You. And better known online as Rans.
Rans and Repose.
Rans and Repose. Really appreciate you taking the time. We spent some time together, a while ago, and we got into a really interesting conversation about safety. We were looking at, if there was a way to measure it, if there was a way to measure, how managers were fostering that, would we be able to kind of predict if managers were doing better than others? And so I wanted to kind of resurrect that a little bit and see if we can go into actionable insights for the everyday listener. But before we do that, I'd love for you to introduce yourself to the listeners, and for those who don't know who Rans and Repose is, the quick synopsis of your background.
So I'm the VP of Product Engineering at Slack. I've been there for almost 3 years now, and before that, I worked at I was the head of engineering over at Pinterest. I was at Palantir, and I spent about 8.5 years at Apple, around the Apple Store, as my last gig there many years ago. During all that time, I realized how hard this leadership thing is. So I started looking for good resources online and books. They were all awful. So I started banging on keyboards, and people liked when I started banging on keyboards, and they were like, cool, keep banging on keyboards. So that turned into a blog, and that turned into a couple of books. The one probably most people know is called Managing Humans. And I continue to write because I can't stop.
You got addicted somewhere along the way.
Exactly.
It's still going. We're reading your book right now in the company-wide book club.
Nice.
Super fun.
How's it going? Is it okay?
Yeah, it's great so far.
So far, yeah. We've got to get the whole company to the end of part one before we break for the holiday. But otherwise, yeah, pretty good.
Well, thanks for reading it.
Thank you for writing it. Thank you for being here. What I wanted to kind of jump down was, we talked about a few things. One of them was safety and why you thought it was an important thing to foster within a team. Do you have any, off the top of your head insights on why that popped up as, your first instinct?
Yeah, I think it's really obvious from a human perspective. Like, you want people to feel safe, and when they're at work, they're not worried about, low on the Maslow's hierarchy. You want them to do all, they want to have, like, feel like they can get all their work done, and there's not like this impending doom. And that's just like the obvious, I think that's the obvious way, but it's actually really a competitive advantage, because folks who feel safe, like, they tell you the hard thing. They say that thing that is complicated, or the thing that they're worried about telling you because you're the boss, or this sort of thing. And that, just that signal moving around, whether it's high signal or low signal, is just better than, like, no one's telling me these things. And it's like, what happened there? And, like, where did that come from? So it's just, from a very basic perspective, it's just the encouraging of, like, signal moving around the organism, as opposed to, it kind of being condensed in this one team that's worried about this other manager or this other team or blah, blah, blah. It's the big, everything which turns into politics and all this other crap. So that's the basic thing, is just getting communication flowing around, whether it's great news or bad news.
Mm-hmm. And people feeling safe enough to share that with you.
Yeah, exactly.
And without fear.
What's a telltale sign if you're managing managers, what's a telltale sign for you that there's a lack of psychological safety on a team or on someone's team that you're managing?
I had this really horrible boss who will go unnamed. And he said this thing to me. He was like, no surprises, Lop. And it was horrible advice, because, well, it's actually horrible, but I turned it around in my head. He was just saying, like, make me look good. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to look bad because something's going on in engineering and I don't know about it. Yeah. So I don't like him. But let's turn that advice around into sort of being like, what is the leading indicator that you're asking about, which is when you're kind of just going through the day and you're just always like the signals, just my day, my job is soup tasting. I'm just tasting soup all day. What's going on with this soup? What's going on with this soup? You know, and what, when I know something's some trust or some safety is weird is when some signal gets to me and I'm like, what? Like that, what is this soup? Like, where did this come from? Right. So it's that sort of thing. And it's not like I need to know everything. It's just, there's a sort of like breathing of communication inside of an organism. And when you're like, the breathing gets weird, you're like, what's going on here? And that's to me is, and it may not be trust and safety in my team or my, but if there's something going on there that's preventing that sort of like healthy flow of knowledge and communication going on. So maybe it could be something else. It could be like just a bad actor in the organism somewhere, but it's also usually a sign of like, someone doesn't feel safe saying something. Someone feels like they're going to be repercussions because the product's late or blah, 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 whatever the excuse is. But it's always sort of a surprise when I discover something where the soup tastes strange.
Yeah. And you've written about the power of saying no and having your employees feel like they can come to you and say no. What are some concrete ways that maybe a less seasoned manager can build enough trust with their team or create that psychological safety to make them feel like they actually can say no?
It's when you're saying no, it's not just power move, right? It's not like, no, we're not doing that. When I'm talking with someone who's kind of a pleaser, the person who really wants empathetic and kind and like, of course, whatever, how can I help you? Mm-hmm. This thing that I have no time to do, I will sign up to do that I'm going to not do well at because I'm just a nice person trying to help you out. I should have said no. Mm-hmm. I should have said no, right? Because I don't have time. And you're a great person. I really want to help, but I have to say no. Why do I say no? Or how do I say no? Here's the thing. You've got to have something before that, which is your vision or your strategy. These are the things I'm working on. And I'm really, really clear about those things. And it's Slack. I'm going to tell you what they are. It's like five things right now. And it's five big, huge things. And I know what they are. And I can tell you the story about why they're important. And when you come to me and say, hey, blah, 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 this thing, it's going to be a lot of work. I go in my head, I'm like, do I really believe these five things are the most important thing? And the answer is yes, I do. Well, maybe I don't. Maybe the thing you're asking is more important than that. But that is how I start with the no, is being really clear about what are my objectives? What are the things I'm trying to do? And when I say no to you, I say no. I don't say, no, I'm the boss. Mm-hmm. I say, no. And here's why. These five things. This thing you're asking me to do is going to take a week. These five things, far more important. Do we agree? And if not, let's have that debate, right? So it's not just no power trippy. It's no, this is less, I believe, using my judgment that this is less important than these other things. And it's still hard. You still want to be nice and whatnot. But when it's backed by the vision and the strategy, it's a lot easier.
Do you find it works the other way as well? So if you have your priorities, you might have like an idea for a particular tactic to get some of those things done. Someone on your team, also a people pleaser, might not necessarily agree with the tactics you just threw out, but as a people pleaser, and maybe that's not like the always most common role in the team, is there anything you do that lets them say like, no, Michael, like chill out. You're wrong there. Anything you do that makes them feel safe to say that to you?
I feel like it's the same thing as when like someone tries to push some process on you, right? You're like, hey, by the way, we're a big company XYZ. And you go, hey, I want to get this thing done. And someone says, well, here's the process. And what I tell my team, I've told my teams in the past is if someone can't explain to you why you don't do the process that way, why we do that process way, you don't have to do it. how is that similar to what you're saying? It's, whether it's no or whether it's I disagree, it's not that it's no or that I disagree. It's why. Like, what is behind this? That's the actual interesting part. Not that I'm saying no, that we're having that conversation about priority or tactics or whatever that set of thing is. And it's my job, just like it's your job. The contract is we must use respect, charisma, whatever it is, to actually convince each other or whatever the heck that thing. And that's the piece that actually that's the piece you're actually working on there. And oh, by the way, you do this a lot of times. You have these arguments, these discussions. You don't want to know where trust and safety comes from. It's us going through that thing and coming out at the other side and be like, well, I disagree with you, but I understand where you're coming from. So look, that's good. One of my favorite people at Slack right now, we argue 70% of the time, like 70% of the time. Like, it's really almost like, I guarantee, like argue, like, and then we're done. I'm like, cool. See you tomorrow. That was fun.
Pick this back up on Monday.
Yeah, no. And like, if you were watching us, you're like, these people don't like each other. This is literally one of my favorite people at Slack. And we argue all the time.
But you get clarity out of it. You get clarity out of those arguments, out of those different viewpoints. Mm-hmm.
But it's hard. I mean, it's work. The first three times you do that, you're like, is this person going to like me after this? Because I'm like, mm-hmm. we are at it right mm-hmm. now. But you do it, you know, 40 times. You're like, oh, cool. This is how we work.
Is that person, not to out them, do they report to you? Are they peer?
No, they're in a different org.
I was kind of thinking that they were a member of your team. How do you, achieve, maybe your goal isn't to, but to jump back to where you started with, that terrible not to be named boss who said, Michael, no surprises. How do you achieve the same result without creating that environment on your team? If like someone doesn't want to invite you into the process to have that debate, to have that conversation.
This is why the third book's called Small Things Done Well, by the way. the answer is you kind of behave how you'd like to be treated 50 times in a row. You do it over and over and over again. And I'm sure you and I have talked about this before. It's like one-on-ones, I almost always finish with, do you have any feedback for me?
Yeah.
And new folks who start working for me, never in the history of ever have they ever had any feedback, because they're like, I don't know who you are. And, finally, 2 months later, after I keep on asking every single week, they go, he's not going to stop asking. So they say something lightweight, like,
they have to. Or you're going to get them in trouble at some point. Like, come on. Yeah.
And they say something and I'm like, cool. And like that's like the first moment on that sort of entering the safety zone where people, where it starts to feel a little bit more like not the boss and the manager is kind of flattening things out.
So I think that's a fun one. There was a really senior leader who talked to me at one point and said, like, how do you react when someone gives you, and she was doing this, she was saying, do you have feedback for me? And I'm open to feedback. Do you have feedback for me? And the first piece of feedback she got on this new team, she felt it was like a personal attack. Mm-hmm. She was always late for things, mm-hmm. right? And they didn't have empathy for her. And she asked me, how do I react to that? What do I do? And you alluded to it a little bit of saying like, oh, cool. Like you're excited. If someone, a new hire hits you right off the bat with something that's a gut punch, what do you do?
Well, it's interesting because your brain really wants to mess with you on that. You can tell when someone's about to give you hard feedback. You can tell. Because they're like, hey, blop. I have some feedback for you. And it's like the hair on the back of your neck stands up and and by the way, and I've received a ton of this in my career, this is going to be something which is going to be a gut punch. Mm-hmm. So the goal, this takes training and practice. You can tell it's coming. It's usually never a surprise because they're nervous or they say those words or they're just holding themselves in a way you're like, oh shit. I just sit there and I remind myself, first off, I see it coming. I just put my feet on the ground. I clench my hands together or on my knees like I'm doing right now. And I just sit there and remember, this is going to be, your reaction is totally normal because you're literally, your brain is feeling like it's about to get punched. Mm-hmm. And what do? You like freeze up and get ready to be punched, right?
And defend yourself.
But that's not what's going to happen. I mean, it's going to feel that way. You just got to remember feedback, however good or bad or misinformed or like spot on, even though it's coming in hot, it's good. It's a gift. There's signal there. Mm-hmm. And all I'm doing when I'm locking up ready for this, I'm like, okay, what's the signal? Like there's something here, even if it's a complete rumor packaged as a lie that designed to make me mad. It's mm-hmm. like, okay, someone's really mad at me. Or like, that's really interesting that rumor exists, like being sort of Vulcan and objective about it and not letting that instinct to like punch back mm-hmm. be the thing. And it's, I make it sound easy because I say these words, but it's really, I mean, I just have to sit there and go like, okay, I'm breathing here. I'm just gonna, okay, where's the signal? Yeah, they're not, I mean, don't take it personally. It's just, even if it's personal, it's not personal to me. I'm just looking for the signal. Like what am I going to learn from this?
Get more clarity, don't defend, ask more questions, listen.
And like part of giving feedback, I think too, from an employee's perspective is they give the feedback, and then, you know, that was hard for them to do also. And they expect to see some sort of change or reaction in the days to come, sort of like coming out of that session. How do you kind of work around that? Because sort of, again, speaking of like signal in the noise, like just because somebody's sharing feedback with you doesn't necessarily mean that they have the full picture and that it's something that you're going to go and change how you're doing something because of it. So how do you maneuver that? How do you deal with situations where you're like, I'm not really going
to
change?
There's two steps. There's two steps to that. Number one is, let's just make it kind of really hard feedback, like one that's like got emotion to it or whatever the heck's going on there. Number one is making sure what they're saying is what you're hearing. Mm-hmm. This is the power move of the day. Mm-hmm. Someone comes in and they got this thing and I want to punch you. And blah, 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 blah. Okay, I hear it. Got it. What I hear you saying is this, blah, 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 blah. And like 50% of the time, like flip a coin. They're like, no, what I meant was this. And by the way, it was like two words different. Mm-hmm. It was important to them that those two words were there. So that's number one. We're not even to like fixing whatever the problem is. Mm-hmm. But number one is, do we agree? Are we cool here?
Are we understanding the same thing here?
That's right. So like what I heard you say is this. And I always do that, especially when I know like the stakes are high. And number two is, once we figure out if it's appropriate, sometimes it's just your job to listen. Sometimes that's the job. But if it's like, okay, what is the thing I need to do here? I use very deliberate language. Mm-hmm. I use very deliberate language. Okay, we agree this is it. I am committed to blah. Mm-hmm. I'm committed to blah. And that's my contract. That's the thing that I'm saying. And I'm sitting there taking it, but I'm agreeing. I'm saying to you, this is the thing that I'm going to go and commit to do. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, this is like hard feedback coming in. It diffuses it. They feel heard. They understand, and they understand the path forward. And of course, the most obvious advice is meet the commitment. do the thing that you said you're going to do, which should be obvious. But it's really the sort of, to me, a lot of it is really traversing that moment that the conversation's occurring. That's really the important part.
Mm-hmm. If you were to say the common commitments that you're going to pull out of your utility belt, and in that scenario,
your commitment hat.
Yeah, your commitment hat. Are they, you know, I commit to fixing it? Obviously not. Are they, I commit to, what are you offering them back in the moment, you know, when you're a little bit caught off guard?
Well, I mean, it really depends on how the feedback is. Because really, like I just said a second ago, sometimes it's just they want to say it.
Yeah.
Because they're mad. Like really, there's nothing to do other than be like, hey, I feel like the team's super political. Here's this thing that's going on here, blah, 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 blah. And sorry, it's I'm playing blah, blah, blah. It's like whatever they're saying is a big deal. But like, like very often it's just like, be heard, you know? I want to be heard. So that's number one. Number two is like, there's another piece, which is sometimes it's not the time to actually, that moment when like it's kind of tense. It's not the moment to figure it out. Like, okay, it's Friday. Let's meet on Monday and let's see what happens after 48 hours of sort of stewing in this thing and doing that later. So, I mean, there's like, it so depends on the person, your relationship with them and what the feedback is.
Mm-hmm. All right. So there's a couple common things I heard. One is like every single one-on-one every week, sit down and say, you must have feedback for me. Please give me feedback. Do you have feedback? They're going
to
punch you.
I tried to do it almost times.
Yeah. It's going to happen. Someone is going to swing for you and come back to them with what I'm hearing is. What I just heard was. And then think about a commitment, right? Come back to that and say, hey, here's a couple things I'm going to actually commit back to. And that doesn't have to be the same day. It doesn't have to be the same meeting. You can, I guess you commit to saying, I've heard you. I will come back with something, say on Monday, right? Mm-hmm.
I mean, another one is like, this is really complicated. I need to talk to some other people. Let me gather some more signal and I'll circle back with you.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay. Well, we've reached the point in our show where it's time for the secret question. Very exciting. So if you could please choose a number between 1 and 3.
3. I want to know all 3 questions. Let's go with 3. That's my favorite number.
All right. Hey, that's good. My favorite number is 5.
Fun fact of the day.
Okay, so what's the one thing you do each day that helps you be a successful leader?
Ooh, Every day that I work, I have at least 60 minutes in the morning undisturbed to start the day. You can't bug me. I get to look at my calendar. I get to prepare for whatever. I get to write a little piece. I get to drink my coffee. The moment my feet hit the ground in the building, it's go, 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 go. And there's things going, there's a planned schedule. There's the things that are going to blow up guaranteed. So having that 60 minutes at the beginning of the day is just, it's literally gold to me. It's literally gold. It's reading this deck for that meeting that's 3 hours later.
Is that like 8 to 9 a.m.? Is that not, is it the same time every day or is it?
It is. Yeah. As long as I'm not traveling, it's exactly the same time. My team now knows about this and they know that my response time in Slack is legendary. as long as it's a short thing. So like, I get a lot, as people start to figure out like that time is like sacred, they're like, hey, what about this? And I'm like, yes, blah, blah, blah. So I get like my Slacks at the time sort of spike, which is fine. As long as they're not like trying to like pull me into this like huge thing. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, 60 minutes a day, no matter what.
And are you doing that kind of like offsite from home? Cause you mentioned when your feet get into the building. So is that something that you're doing before you actually arrive to work?
Awesome. Exactly. Exactly.
Wow.
Cool.
Very cool.
Great. Well, c'est tout, mes amis. We are done.
Awesome. Thank you for the time. I really appreciate the advice.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to talk to you. People Leading People is produced by Soapbox, an app that helps managers and employees work better together by giving them a place to manage their one-on-ones, team meetings, and company-wide discussions. Download it for free at soapboxhq.com/free. Special thanks to our editor, Joel North. If you liked what you heard today, do us a favor and give us 5 stars in the reviews. And if you're really feeling the love, leave a comment with a secret question you'd like us to ask in an upcoming